Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Philippians chapter 3. In verse 8, I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. We count everything loss. Not every believer does. If we are wise, not every believer is. But we count everything loss. And compared to Christ, we recognize that it's just trash. Because we want to gain Christ. We have a value system that allows us to see that the only thing that is actually valuable and meaningful comes through a relationship with our Savior. And therefore, we have a single eye, a single purpose, and we're undiluted by other considerations. That's really what he's saying. I have suffered the loss of all things. I count them as rubbish, I count everything loss. We are undiluted by other considerations. Our one and only consideration is the only consideration that has any value whatsoever. And that is, of course, the kingdom of God, our relationship with Christ. Now, in Colossians 3:2, we set our mind on things above, not things on the earth, affections in some translations. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, our lives are in fact now, Galatians 2:20, hidden with Christ in God. And because our lives are hidden with Christ in God, we know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings being conformed to His death. Now, on a superficial reading, you may feel like being conformed to His death is not what you want to do. His death was a violent death. But He's not saying this. He's saying that we are conformed to the cross where He died. Because at the cross in Ephesians 2:15 and 16, we become one person with Him. That's where we get this fellowship. That's where we get this righteousness. It's through the cross, through our relationship with Him, through our oneness with Him. And this is where we find the power of His resurrection, which enables us to have fellowship with His sufferings. Unless I have the power of the resurrection, I will not be enabled, I will not be capable of much of anything. The word there, power, is dunamis in the original language, and it's speaking of inherent power or ability capable of achievement. It's an inherent power. And this power is residing in a person by virtue of that person's nature. Well, this death that I experience with Christ, where my life is hidden with Christ in God, through the cross, because we have been crucified with Him, this is where we start to experience this resurrection power. This is truly a power. We don't really sometimes think about it. Sometimes we read this and we say, okay, nice, and we just glance over it. And sometimes people get really weird with this notion of power. But power that is real does not come from us, and power that is real is not under our jurisdiction or of our doing, but rather it's power that is found when my nature takes on his nature, my nature gets pushed aside. And so by taking on his nature, I'm no longer living in my nature is pushed aside. My thinking is pushed aside. His nature starts to reside in me, and this has very tangible and real effects. This is true power. We hear about Christians having power, but how many of them actually experience it? And when they do experience it, how many of them experience it in something that is actually emotionalism or something strange, some kind of hoopla, and calling it power? The power that we have as believers is the power of the resurrection. And it's not our resurrection, it's his resurrection, and it must be his resurrection because we've been crucified with him, and that means that we've also been buried with him. That means we've also been raised with him. So it's his resurrection, and we have a place in that resurrection because at the cross, Ephesians 2:15 and 16 tells us we became one person with him. So it's not anything in me, it's everything in him, but now my life is his life. I've been crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. And so it's Christ's life in me. This is now my life. It's Christ's life in me. And when I have the manifestation and the experience of Christ's life in me, that's when I find resurrection power. A lot of believers can become overwhelmed by things. Not because they don't know, sometimes because they don't know, but not necessarily for that reason. Not because in and of themselves they are any less than anybody else. But because no one apart from resurrection power has any power at all. That is the only power God offers us is resurrection power, the power of his resurrection. This is what we have, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. It's not my power, it's his power, but it's power that I get to enjoy. It's the power of the resurrection. This power is highly protective. You have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Through the power of the resurrection, we become untouchable. The Word of God says in 1 John 5:18 that everyone who is generated from God, now, this is the literal translation, the King James or the New King James will say born of God, but really it's generated from God, does not sin. But the one having been generated from God keeps himself, and the evil one does not touch him. Much of what goes on in the world is the evil one, because he is the god of this world system. Much of what goes on today politically, much of what goes on today on personal levels, what happens in society, the violence and the crime and the politicians who would support the criminals, the politicians who would try to thwart law enforcement or law and order and so on, they don't know their own spirit. They are under the control, whether they realize it or not, whether they want to admit it or not. I'm sure most of them do not want to admit it because they don't even know it. But they don't know their own spirit. They do not know that they are under the influence of the evil one. And by the way, the fact that you are a born-again Christian does not necessarily mean that you cannot be under the influence of the evil one. You certainly can, even though you are saved and go into heaven when you die. Because you have not counted everything but loss. The cross is not a real thing in our lives. we appreciate what Jesus did on the cross sometimes, but it's not a real experience in our own lives because Jesus didn't say, I came to die on the cross for you and leave it at that. He said, I came to die on the cross for you so that you can have a cross in your life. And that cross is where we receive His life and His love and His mercy and His compassion, and where everything that is of God that He has given to us becomes our practical, daily, tangible experience. If I'm generated from God, then I'm generated by the Holy Spirit through faith. It's Ephesians 2:8. It has to be through faith because that person does not sin. Whatever is not of faith is sin in Romans 14:23. And so what it's talking about is we're generated through God by faith, and when I live in this faith that has generated me, then the evil one cannot touch me because I keep myself in that faith. When I go from faith to faith, in Romans 1:17, I receive faith through the Word of God, and then mixing faith with what I heard in Hebrews chapter 4, I apply it by faith, and therein is my relationship to God, and that's what makes us just. The wicked one cannot touch that. Satan cannot touch the believer who is living in the cross. That believer has resurrection power. So number one, they are completely untouchable. He can't sway them because he has no foothold in their life. They've been crucified with Christ. He has no foothold in their life. Their life is Christ. Satan has no foothold in the life of Christ, and he has no foothold in the life of the believer who is experientially living in the cross. He is living in the power of the resurrection. So that person is untouchable. He's unmovable. You can't injure that person. You can't wound him. You can't offend him. You can't sway him. You can't move him. Why? Because he is untouchable. He is in Christ, literally in Christ. People say, well, how can you be literally in Christ? He's God. He can figure this stuff out. You're already seated above in heavenly places in him seated at the right hand of God in Ephesians 2:6. Don't think your experience in time is the same as what God declares is reality and is true within eternity, because our lives go beyond time into eternity. Time is simply a manifestation or a phenomenon within the realm of eternity. And so we have this place with God, and we are untouchable. Now, why do people get moved? Why are people offended? Why are people hurt? Why are people swayed? Because their life is not hid with Christ in God in a practical, experiential way through the cross. They don't reckon themselves dead with Christ on the cross to self. They're still concerned about themselves. They're still worried about it. They have not counted everything but loss. They have not counted everything as rubbish, so that they may gain Christ. They still put a value on something. They don't have that single eye, that single purpose that is undiluted by other considerations. There are still other considerations present because they have not recognized the value of the life that God imparts at the cross. Positionally, they possess it. Experientially, they do not experience it just yet. But that is a process. God brings us into that process. However, when I'm in that process, then I necessarily have the power of a resurrection by virtue of God's character and God's life being the life that I now live and the character that I now possess. Such a person is unstoppable. They're untouchable. They're inoffendable. There's nothing you can do with them. People may say to themselves, well, I'm going to do something to harm them then, because they're unstoppable if they're of the devil, and the devil certainly does do that. But that can only work when God gives permission. Not a sparrow can fall without God giving the go-ahead. I love those testimonies from war of certain wonderful Christians who are soldiers, and they're saying things like, I heard the bullets and they were coming right at me. And by the way, you can hear bullets coming right at you. I heard the bullets, they were coming right at me, and then they went around me. When General Washington, George Washington, was in the Revolutionary War, the British had all kinds of snipers going after him, and they shot out horse after horse from underneath him, but they couldn't touch him. And one of the British soldiers recognized, I think actually he was a general, he said, our snipers are excellent, they're very good at what they do, but God is protecting George Washington. And indeed, this is the case. God protects all of us. Nobody can be touched apart from God saying it. And if I am living in the cross, then I have not given Satan permission to touch me. If I'm not living in the cross, then I've opened myself up to him. The cross is our provision for protection. The cross is our provision for the life of God. The cross is our provision for the power of the resurrection. The cross is our provision for the love of God. The cross is our provision. We find our life in the cross because our life is now His life. That's why we became one with Him at the cross, so that we could be united with Him, not so that we could say, okay, I'm saved, but I got my own thing going on. But believer after believer lived like that. Sometimes out of ignorance, sometimes out of rebellion, sometimes for other reasons. It's never a good thing, but believer after believer lives like that. God wants to give you this amazing power of the resurrection. He wants you to be very formidable. Not just in the spiritual warfare, certainly in the spiritual warfare, but as a human being who is a representative of Christ on earth, He wants you to be exceedingly formidable. Look at David. David knew the mercy of God. David knew it was not about him, especially later on in his life. He had to learn the hard way, yes. But look at this guy. He was 15 years old and he trusted God so much that he went against a 9-foot giant who was bearing a javelin that was very heavy. He was bearing an armor, he was bearing a sword, and David, this 15-year-old kid, and he was actually, history tells us, fairly short. He was not a tall guy. I don't know exactly how tall he was, but he was not very tall. He was a little bit of a pretty boy. And this 15-year-old kid trusts God. The armies of Israel didn't trust God, he trusted God. The great soldiers of Israel were afraid of Goliath. David said, let me at him. What do you mean offending God? What do you mean offending the armies of God? What do you mean standing against Israel, the people of God? What do you mean by doing this? Let me at him. That's this 15-year-old kid. Why? Because he trusted God. Why did he trust God? Because he knew the power of the resurrection. Now, was he a perfect man? Far from it. The man was a total train wreck. But he knew how to trust God. He knew what it means in a practical sense for those days to take up his cross. He knew that Christ was his provision, that God would take care of him, that God would be faithful to him. God was his refuge. God was his armor. God was his strength. God was his sword. God was everything to him, and God would do what God would do because David would trust God for God to do it. And so he takes these 5 little rocks. Actually, he just needed one. Beams the giant right between the eyes. The guy falls down with his big heavy armor and everything else, and David cuts his head off. Why? Trusted God. Don't think for a minute that you cannot do something that God calls you to. You can, because you have the power of the resurrection so long as you live in the cross. Remember, if God is calling you to do something, it's not you doing it in the first place. It's Him doing it for you, and you get to enjoy the ride. The evil one cannot touch us. Why did the evil one have success with Adam and Eve? Because they took their eyes off Christ. They started to say something else has value. They did not count all things loss. They did not see them as rubbish. The best thing that Eve could have said to the serpent when he talked to her about the tree of knowledge of good and evil, she would have said, this is rubbish. Why would I eat rubbish? I count everything but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Why would I want to eat that thing? It's rubbish. It's contrary to doctrine. Why would I want to do that? It's contrary to a relationship with Christ. Why would I want to do that? It's contrary to the cross. Why would I want to do that? It's self-orientation. You're telling me to the self-oriented devil. You're telling me, look, something else has value. So dilute your considerations. Dilute your considerations. Satan loves for you to dilute your considerations. He says to us, what about your kids? What about your house? What about your job? What about your well-being? What about your retirement? What about anything else? He's trying to dilute our considerations. Those things in and of themselves, in Matthew 6:33, if you seek first the kingdom of God, all these things are going to be added unto you. But don't dilute your considerations. You receive them with undiluted considerations, counting everything loss, seeking first the kingdom of God, and then he brings every provision for you. And God's not stingy. Ephesians 3:20, he goes above and beyond anything you can ask or think. That's part of the power of the resurrection. In Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That word strengthens is endunamo. It's the same root as dunamis, and it means empower with inherent power and ability that is capable of achievement by virtue of nature. If my nature takes on Christ's nature, then I have this power. Why? Because I'll have the power of the resurrection. My nature takes on his nature when there's a cross in my life. I live the life of God. Let me ask you something. Who do you think has a better life, you or God? Who do you think has more ability, you or God? Who do you think is happier, you or God? Who do you think can figure things out better, you or God? Who do you think is more content, you or God? Who do you think is going to enjoy himself more, you or God? So what are you saving? What are you protecting? Why not just count all things but loss for the excellency of knowledge of Christ? Count them rubbish because they're preventing you from experiencing and enjoying the life of God, and the life of God includes the power of the resurrection. It's so many people, well, I like, I want, I think, I feel. You're robbing yourself silly, you know that. But that's your choice. You can rob yourself if you want. God wants to give to you abundantly. I can do all things through Christ who empowers me. I'm empowered because I'm in Christ. I'm empowered because I have the nature of Christ. I'm empowered because I have the protection of Christ, and these things come through the cross, as I have the life of Christ. I'm seated above in heavenly places. Who can touch me there? I'm in Christ. Who can touch me there? It's very easy to offend some people. It's very easy to aggravate them, frustrate them, make them mad, make them insecure, make them sad. All kinds of negative things. Make them negative. Why? No cross. They do not experience the power of the resurrection. They do not experience the protection of the cross. They do not have undiluted considerations, and therefore they do not have this inherent power that God gives them so that nothing could touch them, and the wicked one has a field day with them. It's pretty simple, really. God's life is better than human life. Natural life can't touch it. God offers us his life, and along with his life, he offers us his love, he offers us his protection, his provisions, his kingdom, and the power of the resurrection, among many other things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I cannot do all things by worrying about myself, how I feel, what I think, what's going to happen tomorrow, what's it going to cost, what's it going to do, how's it going to affect me, how's it going to make me feel, where am I going to go with this, what am I going to do, how's this going to go, what are people going to think, and all these stupid little considerations that people make, diluting that one thing that is of actual value. And that's a knowledge of Christ through faith, which imparts righteousness and the power of the resurrection. Put simply, don't be a wimp. But you can't not be a wimp if there's no cross in your life. No one without a cross in their life is actually someone who's not a wimp. You're going to cry about things, you're going to complain about things, you're going to get frustrated about things, you're going to get hurt by things, you're going to be offended by things, you're going to be made angry by things, you're going to be negative because of things. You're a wimp. Don't be a wimp. We need a t-shirt. Don't be a wimp. The cross is the only thing that can make you not a wimp. Imagine this. You have a soldier who goes into a battle, but that soldier knows that it's not possible to kill him. That soldier knows it's not possible to wound him. You would say, okay, that's Superman. Okay, let it be Superman. You have Superman going into this battle. He's impervious to the bullets. He's impervious to the bombs. He's impervious to the tanks. He's impervious to everybody else, but he can do absolutely anything he wants. And nobody can do anything about it. That's not bad, is it? God is like that. Except much bigger. And God is real. God's not some fantasy man from some strange planet. God is real. He is much bigger, much more powerful, much more capable, and he is offering that to you. The wicked one cannot touch him. No more can the wicked one touch me than he can touch God. Those bullets could not reach General Washington. Those bullets could not reach those soldiers. During the Iraqi war, they would go right by them. They were going toward them. They would go around them. They were protected. They were protected by God. They were protected by angels. They were protected by the power of God. They were protected by the power of the resurrection. Because the wicked one could not touch them, God said no. It's that simple. I'll never forget this account I heard where a Christian was in some city, I don't even remember where, but it was in a dangerous neighborhood, and somebody pulled a gun on him, and they tried to squeeze the trigger, and the trigger wouldn't squeeze. Why is that? Because God said no. Simple as that. I had a friend, fantastic soul winner. He's since gone home to be with the Lord. Best soul winner I ever met. The guy was bold as bullets. He went into a drug house. He just walked right in. All these guys, all these women, this very bad situation. And he goes in there and he yells at them. He says, you're going to listen to me now and I'm going to give you the gospel. And he gives them the gospel. And this big burly guy there, he cocks his hand back, his fist to punch my friend, and he could not move his arm. And the guy said, I can't move my arm. And my friend said to him, and you're not going to until you finish listening to me and you get saved. God said, no. My friend knew the power of the resurrection. He was not afraid. He was not anxious. He just walked in there bold as bullets. And God took care of him. Now, he was not presumptuous. He prayed over everything. He prayed in his decisions. He prayed to make sure he was being responsive to God. But when he knew the will of God, he was bold as bold comes. And God took care of him. He does that for every believer. You respond to God, God takes care of it. Nothing can happen to you that God does not permit. If God permits it, then it's for your sake that he permits it in 2 Corinthians 4:15. The power of the resurrection is a real power. It allows us to do things. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. It allows us to do some things. Now, the word all in the original language means all. That means that we are unrestricted, not in ourselves and in our natural disposition, but when we are led by the Holy Spirit of God, we are unrestricted. When we have a cross in our lives, we are unrestricted in that which we can do, which we can accomplish. In absolutely everything, we are unrestricted because of the power of the resurrection. What restricts the believer? Sin. Sin restricts the believer because whatever is not of faith is sin. Old sin nature is sin. And so sin restricts the believer. What frees the believer? The cross. So we are unrestricted when there is a cross in our lives. There is absolutely no restriction at all. Again, we're not presumptuous. We seek the face of God. We seek the kingdom of God. We seek the will of God. And when we receive it, we are unstoppable. In Matthew 17:20, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible to you. Now, how does this work? Well, a mustard seed, first of all, is a living seed. Yes, it has to go into the ground. Unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground, it abides alone. But if it falls into the ground and dies, it bears much fruit. It must have a cross. If you have a living faith through the cross, the faith is growing, the faith is effectual. You can move mountains. Now, some people may say to us, well, I don't know about moving mountains. Well, there's your problem, isn't there? Jesus said you can move mountains. Nothing will be impossible for you through the cross. Not through your own ability, not through presumption, not through your sin nature, through the cross. Faith will bring us to the throne of grace in Romans 5:2 and Hebrews 4:16. That is the source of the power of the resurrection. So, when I come through faith, and this is why it has to be faith, again, whatever is not of faith is sin. When I enter into the faith of the mustard seed, the place that I enter into is grace, and the place of grace is the throne of grace, and the throne of grace is what decrees unmerited favor, loving kindness, mercy, compassion, and so on. But it starts with the throne of grace because that is the throne of God. So, the source of the power of the resurrection is the throne of grace. Now, Jesus said, all power has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Well, that is because the throne of grace is Jesus' throne. So he has all the power and the authority. Jesus told Pilate, if I should choose, I can have 12 legions of angels come here and deliver me from this situation. Well, that's a lot of angels. Keep in mind, one angel was able to kill 185,000 Assyrian soldiers in one night. That's not bad. Can you imagine a human soldier being able to do that? I don't think so. But one angel could do it. Why? Because God said to. Well, we have the authority of the kingdom of God that we enter into when we go there by faith. nothing is impossible for us because nothing is impossible for the throne of grace. And if I have this faith that brings me to the throne of grace, what do I do there? Well, Hebrews 4:16 says, I make my petition. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. We make our petition at the throne of grace. How do we get to the throne of grace? Through the word of God. What does the word of God do in Romans 10:17? It produces faith. What does faith do? It takes us to grace. Where is grace? At the throne of grace. Then we ask what we desire, and it's done for us because we kept the word of God in our hearts and we've kept ourselves in the love of God. That's what it means. If you abide in me, he is love. We keep ourselves in the love of God. His words abide in us. We ask what we desire. Why? Because we go to the throne of grace by faith, and at the throne of grace, we receive all the full power and authority of grace working on our behalf. And this is the power of the resurrection. You cannot do that. You cannot abide in him and have his words abide in you outside of the cross, because that's what produces the cross in you. In verse 5 of the same chapter, if I abide in the love of God and his words abide in me, I'll bear much fruit. Apart from him, I can do nothing. I can do all things through him. How? Abiding in his love and having his word abiding in me, that's producing the cross in me. By faith, taking me to the throne of grace where I find all power. And now we're unstoppable. Because the full authority and power of the kingdom of God is working on the believer's behalf when the believer takes up a cross. It's amazing to me. Some of the things that believers go through and they're not touched. Now, how do I get touched by a bad situation? I start staring at the situation. I get anxious about the situation. I get anxious about the people in the situation. I look at everything possible except for one thing, keeping my gaze squarely on the faithfulness of God through the Word of God, keeping the love of God in my frame of reference, thinking with the mind of Christ, walking right through it, not looking at the situation, not looking at the people, not listening to the people, not trying to figure out my way through it. I just keep going in the call that I have, in the plan of God, in the perfect will of God, and I walk right through it. It can't touch me completely unscathed. Well, I don't know. This is a pretty tough situation. Well, you know what? Daniel had some friends. The king was not too happy with those guys, and he threw them into a fiery furnace. Those furnaces were huge. They were big furnaces. And then he told the guards, turn it up 7 times hotter. And as it turns out, if you turned it up 7 times hotter, if you were standing outside the furnace, it would kill you because it was so hot. And the king looks in, and there's the 3 Hebrew boys looking around, walking around, just taking a walk. Their ropes were completely fallen off of their arms, and there's a 4th man in there, and that's the Savior. What happened there? Through the power of the resurrection, the fire couldn't touch them. It burned off the ropes, but it couldn't touch them. They didn't even smell like smoke. Couldn't touch them. Why? God said no. I don't care what physics says. I don't care what chemistry says. God said no. God is the ultimate authority over physics and chemistry and everything else, biology, you name it, including your checkbook. God said no. You don't have enough money? Ask God. Simple as that. You want to be faithful, but you're not sure you can afford to be. Be faithful and God will take care of your checkbook. How? Power of the resurrection. That's how. In Romans 1:17, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, even as it has been written, the just shall live by faith. This is the manifestation of our relationship with Christ. The righteousness of God speaks of a relationship that brings righteousness, except it's the righteousness of God. Our righteousness is through Him. He has a relationship with us that develops our relationship to Him. Righteousness speaks of the relationship with Christ that brings us into right standing with Him. It starts with His relationship toward us. He loves us and draws us with loving kindness. That's His relationship to us. He first loved us. That's where it starts. This draws us to Him and we develop a relationship to Him. The practical result of this is I receive faith through the Word of God, then I apply by faith what I receive from the Word of God, and this is why I become just. This is how I live. This brings me to the power of the resurrection, because in faith obedience through the resurrection, through the cross, because the cross is the only way I can live in faith obedience, resurrection life becomes my practical reality. And the power of the resurrection is found in the Galatians 2:20 resurrection life that God gives me to live. This is how our atonement becomes our experience through our at-one-ment with Him. It's through resurrection life, which comes by keeping myself in the love of God, keeping the Word of God in my frame of reference, which produces the cross in me, allows me to enjoy resurrection life, and makes me an extremely powerful individual. Don't think that when God says, whatever you ask for, I will do for you, that He's putting any restraints on that. Matthew 7:7 does not come with stipulations. Ask, and you shall receive. Anyone who asks will receive. No stipulations. The only problem is sometimes we don't believe. I remember a time when I first came off of the mission field, and I took a job working in a clothing store for a little while because I took the first job I could get. And it was a fun job. I enjoyed it well enough. It wasn't a great job, wasn't a career, but for the time being, it wasn't bad. And I had a boss that was not right with God. I'm not going to tell you what sin he was into, but he was into a specific sin. And I said to God, God, it is out of order for me to work for somebody in this specific sin. Within a week, God removed him. God didn't hurt him. He moved him to a different place. But He removed him. Why? Power of the resurrection. You ask and you receive. Power of the resurrection. It comes through the cross. It comes by the Word of God and the love of God being the reality of our lives and keeping us in the cross of Christ, which imparts to us His life, His love, His ways, His thoughts, and we get anything that we ask for because we are asking according to the way we think, which is with His mind. So, of course, we get what we ask for. Our mind becomes His mind. It's only through resurrection life, though, that we find the power of the resurrection. You're not going to find resurrection life in the old sin nature. You're not going to find resurrection life in self-preservation. You're not going to find resurrection life in trying to enforce your old sin nature. You're not going to find resurrection life in your insecurities. You're going to find it at the cross. You know, sometimes people act like taking up a cross is somehow going to be hard for them. Or denying yourself is ascetic. You couldn't be farther from the truth. Not denying yourself and not picking up the cross, that's where things get tough. That's where life gets really unpleasant because you have no provisions from God. In John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, Jesus said, The one who hears my word and believes the one who has sent me has everlasting life, and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. How does that happen? The word of God producing faith brings me into grace. In Ephesians 2:8, resurrection life is entered by faith, because faith is not sin. Faith is the only thing that is not sin in Romans 14:23. Whatever is not of faith is sin. So it has to be through faith. And that faith can only be produced by the word of God in Romans 10:17. It's not your believism. It's not self-defined. It's produced in you by Bible doctrine. But that is powerful stuff. That's the kind of stuff where you pray for a young 22-year-old woman who's about to die because she's got an incurable lung infection and her lungs are filling up with liters of blood. And all of a sudden, after you've prayed, the blood is gone out of her lungs. She no longer needs to be on life support. She's completely doing well. Within 2 days, she's on an exercise bike and she's totally cured by God in her lungs. What happened there? Power of the resurrection. Ask, and it will be done for you. It's that simple. This kind of stuff happens all the time. Believers who know the Word of God, who love the Word of God, believers who love God, believers who love the cross of Christ, these are the most powerful, unstoppable people in the entire world. And there's some crackpot dictators out there and different types of individuals who would like to stop these believers. They want to say, well, we got to get rid of you Christians, or they throw them in prison, or they try to kill them like Charlie Kirk. But what do? You throw them in prison, God promises them all kinds of rewards as a result of that difficult experience. And if you kill them, you send them to heaven. Oh, and by the way, they're coming back. So it's not like you've actually gotten rid of them. They're coming back. The power of the resurrection is unstoppable. Not everybody enters it, but everybody who's born again can have it if they want it. It comes through the cross. In Ephesians 2:1, you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. This is what people are protecting. Oh, I don't know if I want to give up that. Well, it's your death in trespasses and sins. Yeah, I know, but I like it. You're nuts. You're genuinely nuts. Somebody should take you and put you in the mental hospital. You are genuinely nuts. What are you doing protecting that? You think it's going to do anything? Well, I got to protect my reputation. Okay. Can't have people saying negative things about me. Okay, they said negative things about Jesus, but I guess not you. Can't go into these challenging situations. You know, they make me kind of uncomfortable. It'll make you a lot happier to go into them than not, when you stand before Christ at the Bema seat for your rewards and God said, oops, sorry, you didn't respond in faith. Oh, shucks, for eternity. Come on, get with it. I swear, some believers, I love them to death, but man, oh man, you'd think that they turned their brains off and deposited them somewhere in the trash can, and the guardsmen already took them away, and they're somewhere in a dump. Man, your life is found at the cross. Hello, your life is found at the cross. You got this? Your life is found at the cross. Galatians 2:20, your life is found at the cross. That's the same place you find the power of the resurrection. Seeking first the kingdom of God, everything is supplied for you. Just seek first the kingdom of God. It's not hard. It's much easier than anything else you can try to do. Because God wants you to seek first the kingdom of God. It's His good pleasure to give you the entire kingdom of God. He's not going to make you the same promise about self-orientation. Well, it's my good pleasure to give you self-orientation, which will totally glorify the devil. Go at it. You're nuts. Some people are nuts. Honestly, some people. I love them to death, but they're totally nuts. He made you alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. The power of the resurrection and resurrection life is only found at the cross. And it comes by the cross. And the cross imparts that life. If you want to have a life of insecurity and anxiety and fear and neurosis and negativity and frustration and express it in all kinds of negativity and anger and sarcasm and whatever else you can come up with, knock yourself out. But man, oh man, you genuinely should have your head examined. God offers joy in His presence. And His presence is at the cross. The cross is not your difficulty. The cross is your provision in the difficulty. Some people say, oh, that's my cross. It's so hard. I gotta bear it. Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. You're wet behind the ears. You don't know the first thing about a cross. The cross is where you meet God, where you receive His love, where you receive His life, where you receive His ability, where you receive His mercy, where you receive His compassions, where you receive His protection, where you receive His provisions. Absolutely everything that you have coming to you from God that He died to give you. If He did not spare His own Son, how much more will He freely give you all things? But you find them at the cross. And that's where you also find the power of the resurrection, which leads to all kinds of amazing answered prayer, all kinds of amazing ability, all kinds of amazing protection. And all of this is completely real and experiential to the people who know how to pick up a cross. Amen. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive You as my Savior. Thank You for loving me so much that You died for me so I can have eternal life with You. Amen.